they receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven.
Don't you know that whoever is joined to an harlot is one flesh? Don't you know that whoever joins themselves to an harlot is one with a harlot? And so whoever joins themselves with Jezebel is one with Jezebel. They that go whoring become whores.
Jezebel is a symbolic name. It could be embodied in a single person in the end times, I suppose. But the idea that he gave her space to repent of her fornication, sure, it's, to me, the thing about the churches actually is interesting, is these are things that are just as we go into the end times. Repent or I'll do this, repent or I'll do that, stay faithful, this is what's going to happen to you, right? And then describes the end times in the rest of the book of Revelation. So these conditions exist before the actual events take place. So Jezebel could be alive and well in this world today. But if that's so, then it's in a spiritual sense. It's like the spirit of the times. It's like a cultural force. It's like a thing in the church that corrupts it. The spirit of Jezebel is in the church corrupting it, causing fornication, causing them to be acculturated, causing them to look more and more like the world, causing them to look more and more like worshipers of Baal than like worshipers of Christ. You will have tribulation 10 days to the church of Smyrna. But here, to the church of Thyatira, we have, I will cast you into a bed, and those that are with you into great tribulation. This is the tribulation you do not want to get into. Now, how come it is when a lot of modern prophecy buffs look at Revelation in the churches, they go right to Philadelphia and they say, yes, because thou have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. But they never look at all the other churches where it says, like, yeah, I'm going to throw you into the tribulation. How you like that, buddy? I'm going to throw you into it. I'm going to cast you into tribulation. I'm going to put you in the midst of it, and you will suffer in it. I will kill your children. That's pretty heavy. I will kill her children with death. The children of Jezebel killed with death.
The children of Jezebel are the product of the union of Christianity and this evil cultural influence. The products of these churches. Can it be real children? Well, yeah, I mean, we all start off young, don't we? Even in Christ, we're born again. We start off all over again as children. But they let Jezebel handle the children. So they become her children and not the children of God. Because every child of God grows up into Christ. But the children of Jezebel grow up into death.
And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. He looks into our hearts and minds. It's interesting. He talks about these outward sort of carnal things. And then he says, I search the reins and hearts. The lusting after evil things is a sign of an inward corruption. The following after Jezebel is an outward manifestation of an inward corruption. They have works, charity, service, faith, patience. They're doing a lot of outward religious things. They're in the church, right? But he looks deeper than that shallow exterior of good works and outward professions of faith.
They say they have all this faith, yet they suffer Jezebel to teach and to seduce.
Well, he looks at their works and he says, I know your works. But I have something against you. If you're going to get by God on your works, they're going to have to be pure. Well, I am not justified by my works. I cannot justify myself by my works. My works can act as a condemnation against me and prove that I am not faithful in Christ. I don't have faith in him. I've rather bedded myself down with Jezebel. They're in bed with Jezebel. I mean, this is harsh, right? You know, and God has given us his grace and all that. Well, if God's grace is truly upon us, we will not find ourselves in bed with Jezebel. Or at least we'll get the heck out. I gave her space to repent. Get out of her bed. Because I will give every one of you according to your works. That's what Jesus says. A lot of stuff written in the Gospels, a lot of stuff in the Apostles, right? But Jesus himself is saying, look at church. I'm going to give you according to your works. I don't care what your minister has told you. You're not saved by works. No, you're saved by my blood.
But this is really a conflict about what the church is. Because the church is just a called out body of believers, those who are called according to election. That's what the church is. But there's a lot of things out there in the world that are calling themselves churches that need to be judged. And those objects those external objects in the world that exist as organizations, they are going to be judged not by grace, but by what they do. What are they doing? What are they working? That's how those things are judged. God doesn't call earthly organizations by grace. He calls individuals by grace. And when you put all those individuals together, you get the church. And he will call them out of these corrupt organizations. But if we do not repent,
and you go into Jezebel's bed, I will judge you by your works. You know, the children of Israel, like when it talks about Balaam and Balak, they're examples. In the book of 1 Corinthians 10, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. All these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Again, Balaam and Balak is all about idolatry. Jezebel, it's about idolatry. Our culture today is also about idolatry. It's a different kind of idolatry, but it's still taking the place of Christ in the hearts and minds of people. The things that happened to Israel in the Old Testament are examples. We are to look at those things and say, hey, that could happen to me, so I should pay attention to it. I should pay attention to what happened then, so that the same thing doesn't happen to me. I don't want to murmur. I don't want to tempt Christ. You want to stay in Jezebel's bed and say, hey, it's okay? You're going to tempt Christ. And you're going to find out what happens when you do that. Destruction. If you repent not. And you need to repent. Don't say, I professed my faith in Christ. I'm saved. Say it not to yourself. I know your faith. I know your faith. I know your works. I know your patience and service and love. I know about all of that. But what is this that you have been doing with Jezebel? This says something about your faith. Something I already know. If you repent not, I will remove your candlestick from its place. Do you get that? That's the message. I search the reins and hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things. Don't even tell me what's in your heart. I know. You believe the devils also believe and tremble, and Jezebel believes and plies her trade. I will give unto you according to your works. Don't forget it. If you persist in this, you will reap what you sow. That's it. Verse 24, but unto you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. You can hear it in the way people speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.